You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we are handing out quarter of the season awards for the Chicago Bears, going through Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved, Comeback Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year for the Chicago Bears through four games. I'll be joined by Larry Dyer, who hosts the Bears Talk Underground podcast, so it won't be just me giving you what I think. We'll bounce ideas back and forth and go through some different players for each of the awards. Before we bring on Larry, just a quick, in case you missed it, Bears news update from the weekend. Akeem Hicks was fined something like $33,000 for his contact with an official last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but he will not be suspended for that incident moving forward. Like we've talked about on this podcast before, we still haven't really seen clear video of what exactly transpired, but we know a referee was trying to pull Hicks off of a Buccaneers player that was getting in a scuffle, and Hicks kind of gave the ref a shove and was otherwise ejected. Clearly not really any longer a big deal, not something that's going to affect the team moving forward. Akeem Hicks escapes with just a fine, and instead the defense is sitting just fine moving forward. That's all we've got for Bears news on this bye week weekend without any Bears game. So let's get into our Bears quarter season awards. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is Larry Dyer. He hosts the Bears Talk Underground podcast on the Armchair All-Americans Media Network, and he often has me on his show for some great in-depth Bears analysis. So I thought, gotta return the favor once again. Larry, you've been on Locked On Bears once or twice before, but remind everyone they can follow you on Twitter at BTU_Larry. I know a new podcast name, a new network behind you. How are you enjoying the transition there?
Well, you know, it's been interesting. I've never had to read copy before as far as like advertisements and stuff like that. So trying to spice that up has been entertaining. But the camaraderie, the other people that I'm on the team with and things like that, it's been a pretty great experience so far.
Well, I know you share the wonders of mybookie.ag, which listeners today will get more of that later on. But let's dive in to this Bears bye week here. It's a rough weekend without a Bears game on TV. And so it's a good opportunity to kind of look back over this team through four games. And I thought the best way to do it would be to give some awards out. You know, it's usually when we have a bye week, it's more towards the middle of the season, so it's kind of the mid-season awards, but instead, we'll do early season awards. It's a quarter of the season. It's nice. It's a good enough stopping point. So let's start with Offensive Player of the Year so far, because it's been a weird offensive start to the year with kind of different guys contributing in different ways and Mitchell Trubisky not really coming on until late. So When you look at this offense, who kind of stands out to you as a potential Offensive Player of the Year so far?
For me, the easiest answer would have to be Tariq Cohen. I mean, it has been such an up and down offense so far, with the lowest, I guess, maybe being the Arizona game, and then the highest highs being the Tampa Bay game, just back to back like that. But I still feel like he's been the most explosive, consistently explosive guy, like somebody we could get a big play from. No matter who we were playing, Cohen has been that guy.
Yeah, he does lead the team in yards from scrimmage, I believe 308, and he's got the receiving touchdown, but hasn't had a ton of opportunity in the ground game. And as far as the weapons go, I tend to agree with you that from the pass catcher's standpoint, he has been the most explosive, the most consistent, and kind of the go-to guy for Matt Nagy here. But I think for me, a guy that doesn't get enough credit here that I think would be my choice for Offensive Player of the Year is Charles Leno, the left tackle. I think Trubisky's blindside has been very well protected. The offensive line has been more or less secure from that side. I know the running game hasn't really had a lot of room to work, but I thought individually Charles Leno has been the most consistent of the five offensive linemen, and a guy that, because you don't really hear his name much, you don't think about him much, but that also means he's doing a pretty darn good job.
Well, you know, it's I've never been a fan, honestly. I you know, you watch the All 22, so you get to see a lot more, or you get to take your time and watch Charles Leno. I only get the experience of when it's happening live. And like you said, if you don't hear his name, then he obviously must be doing a good job. And you tend to notice, even if it's only two or three times a game, when the quarterback's getting hit or something like that, it's coming from the left side, most likely because he's going up against the best pass rusher our opponent has to offer. It's like, I've never really been able to see what the Bears' love affair with Leno has been, but you can't argue with the case that you just made. Trubisky, for the most part, has been upright all season.
Let's keep it moving here and go to the other side of the ball, one that I don't think we're going to have any disagreement on. Defensive player of the year. Is there any choice other than Khalil Mack? I mean, let's put it that way. How about, you know, assuming we are in agreement that Khalil Mack is the Bears' defensive player of the year so far.
Yes.
Who would be number two for you?
Number two? Great question. I would go with Danny Trevathan, actually. He's an NFC defensive player of the week for his performance against the Seahawks. He got interception against the Buccaneers. He always seems to be in the right place at the right time. I know most people would probably scream Akeem Hicks, but for me, it's Trevathan. I mean, he's pretty much been everywhere on that defense that Khalil Mack hasn't been in those rare instances.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at these different guys in the defense, whether it's Hicks, whether it's Danny Trevathan, or my actual choice, I would probably lean Eddie Jackson myself. But all three of those guys, you know, it's hard to compare them side by side because they're not all doing the same thing. You know, Akeem Hicks, his level of accomplishment as far as, you know, dominating blocks and making plays in the backfield, well, you know, Danny Trevathan doesn't get as many opportunities to do so, but, you know, Akeem Hicks isn't dropping back into coverage and covering some of these tight ends and linebackers and just being able to make tackles short of the line of scrimmage. And then, you know, similarly throw Eddie Jackson in there, who I think is really having a pretty strong season as far as making plays and just kind of securing that deep middle of the field. You know, no one's being asked to cover the way he is as far as Trevathan and Hicks. And, you know, obviously he's not being asked to step up in the running game. So, it's not a very easy thing to compare here, but I'm with you that all three of those guys are right there together in that same mix. I mean, would you consider, you know, Prince Amukamara for, you know, a guy that is, you know, he's finally making some turnovers, but now he's kind of hurt again? Or does Eddie Goldman get in that conversation? I mean, who else is kind of up there in this clear second tier behind Khalil Mack?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about this defense, is that the decision is tough. It's a nice luxury to have, is that we're actually having an honest debate about who the second best player on the defense is. And there are so many candidates. So, I mean, a strong case could be made for just about everybody that we've been mentioning: Jackson, Goldman, Hicks, Trevathan, you know, and I'm sure that 6-7 weeks down the line, we could even throw a Roquan Smith into that conversation as well. I mean, there's just so many guys on this defense that could be that number two when it's all said and done.
Well, clearly this Bears defense is fun to watch, and I have to imagine it's quite a bit more fun to watch in person in the stands at Soldier Field. If you're listening to this podcast and you want to get your tickets to a Bears game this year, you have to download the Vivid Seats app. Vivid Seats provides a really easy and convenient ticket buying experience with great prices that get even better thanks to a special offer from the Locked On Podcast Network. If you go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app, you can enter the promo code LOCKEDON to receive $20 off your first order of $200 or more. I'm looking at the app on my phone right now. Still plenty of tickets available to Patriots at Bears on October 21st, the next home game. But as we get closer and closer, those prices get more and more expensive. But for example, Jets at Bears the weekend before Halloween, starting at $147 each, or Lions at Bears the first home game of November starts at $117. You pick yourself up a pair of those, you'll get $20 off if you use the promo code Locked On with Vivid Seats and Locked On Bears. Coming up next, we move to Most Improved Player and Rookie of the Year so far for the Chicago Bears through four games. Keep it locked on Locked On Bears. Again, we're here with Larry Dyer from the Bears Talk Underground podcast. I highly recommend everybody, if you're looking for that more longer form weekly Bears analysis, you do two shows a week on that, right?
A preview and a review show. Yes, indeed.
There you go. So I recommend everybody to take a listen to that if you're looking for even more Bears analysis. But let's move on here to another award, and you know, one that I think gets overlooked a little bit as far as these national awards go, or these season long awards. It's Most Improved Player, because this is a tricky award, because you know, different levels of improvement for different guys being asked to do different things. And I guess to mix it up, I really do struggle to see, you know, to pick. There's a lot of guys that I think have gotten better. I mean, certainly this defense as a whole has gotten a lot better, but individually, I struggle a little bit with this. And I guess, you know, I was going to give my guy first since I keep asking for yours first, but I'm curious to see where you go with this first. So I will once again defer to you. Who's the most improved player either side of the ball on this Bears team?
Well, the first person that popped into my head is Prince Amukamara, and that's because he's already done something this season that he hadn't done in, two or three seasons at least, which is get an interception, make some turnovers and everything. He went an entire season and the season before with Jacksonville without having an interception. The one that he got against Seattle, that pick six, was the first one he gotten since he was with the Giants, for Pete's sake. So, you know, as far as improving and being able to do something you hadn't done before, my first vote would go to Amukamara.
And that's the name I was going to say, too, actually. So that's why I'm glad I let you say it first, because he was the guy I kind of had circled as far as, you know, making those turnovers and just kind of fewer of those mistakes that we saw last year. There were just at times when you're like, what is Prince Amukamara doing on that play? Like, there was that, I think, that one stretch in week one this year against Green Bay in the red zone where he still got beat a couple times and allowed a touchdown. But other than that, it's been a lot of pretty phenomenal stuff there. I was trying to think of, you know, is there anybody on offense that feels like they've significantly improved? And certainly, you know, Mitch was much improved for one game against the Buccaneers. But I don't know, would you put Allen Robinson in a potential most improved player? I mean, he has been a 1,400-yard and 14-touchdown receiver before, but, you know, he wasn't in his last couple years in Jacksonville. I mean, or maybe Taylor Gabriel, because he was never a number two, you know, a true number two wide receiver in Atlanta and started to look like that against the Buccaneers. I mean, is there anybody offensively that would, I guess, who would fit the category most on the offense?
Maybe an Eric Kush, maybe, because he went from being a utility guy to being our starting left guard so far. I mean, I know that he's probably the one person on the offensive line that people want to see replaced, but this was a guy that missed all of last year with that hamstring injury or groin injury, whichever one it was. But he came back. He came back 100% and beat out this rookie that we spent a second round pick on and started the first four games for us for an offense that has been steadily improving. So if I had to pick someone, that's the guy that I would go with.
Well, you mentioned Eric Kush beating out a first-year player, and maybe that's a good transition here to Rookie of the Year, or at least Rookie of the first four games for the Chicago Bears. We haven't really seen much more than, you know, a few drives of James Daniels last week, so obviously he's out, and there's kind of an obvious first-round pick who's been contributing quite a bit, but we have seen some of the younger guys, some of the lower-down picks start to make some contributions here, so I guess is there anyone besides the obvious choice for Bears Rookie of the Year for you?
Absolutely. It's Bilal Nichols.
Really?
He's, oh my God, he's been fantastic up front. You know, I mean, especially, I mean, I guess everyone had an awesome game against Tampa Bay last Sunday, but he made a key tackle in the Arizona game as well. And he, you know, he set up some stuff in the Tampa Bay game as well. I've been really impressed. I watched him all throughout the preseason. And I think he was inactive for that first game against Green Bay, but ever since then, when he's been on the field, he's made himself known. So even more so than Roquan Smith, I would have to give the nod to Bilal Nichols.
Yeah, I find myself tending to agree with you, but I guess I'm surprised because it does seem like Roquan's the, I mean, just because he's been on the field so much. But I guess let's turn it there for a second. I mean, what is your kind of evaluation from what you've seen from Roquan? I mean, the expectations were high, you know, as a top 10 pick and an elite player, but misses all of training camp and comes in maybe not where he necessarily would have been otherwise. Have you been disappointed at all with him, or is this kind of what you might have expected given how his entrance to the team went?
You know, you and I talked about this on my show, and we talked about how Roquan Smith and the spotlight that was going to be on him was shielded by the acquisition of Khalil Mack. Because if not for Khalil Mack, all eyes are on Roquan Smith anytime he steps on the field, because he held out, because he missed 90% of training camp, because he didn't play a down in the preseason, and, you know, had that lingering hamstring injury or whatever it was that was keeping him out of playing and everything. Khalil Mack comes in, nobody's really paying attention that much to Roquan Smith, and he's quietly going about his business and learning the defense and what it takes to be an NFL linebacker. So, I mean, what I've seen from Roquan Smith is first snap on the field, he sacks the quarterback against Green Bay, and then every now and then making the play like against the Seahawks and what have you in the last couple of games. I mean, there would be a lot more eyes on Roquan if not for Khalil Mack. But, you know, what I have noticed of Roquan, I've been quite happy with.
Do you find it, I don't know if ironic is quite the right word, but is it interesting that, you know, John Fox was kind of known for not playing his rookies, or at least not necessarily wanting to play his rookies. But I think back last year, you know, Trubisky obviously has to start. Shaheen gets worked in. Eddie Jackson is a starter. Tariq Cohen is a big part of the offense. You know, the year before, Floyd Whitehair in there a lot. Kwiatkowski had to be out there a lot. And Jordan Howard obviously emerging as a rookie. And yet we get to the Matt Nagy era, and Roquan Smith, not a week one starter, you know, no week one starters on out of this draft class. And, you know, really, Anthony Miller was the only one in a significant role week one. I guess, are you surprised that they haven't had to rely on these rookies more? And I guess, what does that say about the team, in your opinion?
I think it says that we're healthy for a change, because a lot of those guys that you talked about were forced into duty because the guys that were in front of them that they were learning from were injured for one period of time or another. I think the fact that we're not having to rely on these rookies says that our veterans are healthy and contributing, and that the rookies can sit back and learn and don't have to get on the field immediately like they did under John Fox.
It certainly has been a luxury for these Bears to not have to rely on their rookies, although I think Anthony Miller said he'll be back for week 6 against the Miami Dolphins this week. So should be a nice boost to the Bears offense. And the Bears already find themselves favored by 3 over the Dolphins at mybookie.ag. And that almost seems low after the Dolphins blew a fourth quarter lead pretty embarrassingly to the Cincinnati Bengals this past week. If you're interested in taking advantage of that spread, you got to do it at mybookie.ag. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we recommend mybookie.ag here on the Locked On Podcast Network. They have a lot of different ways to get involved. They've got a great site with a lot of positive reviews because they've been in this business for so long. They know exactly how it works, and they're a great way to get going in this blooming, blossoming world of sports betting. Join now, and MyBookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code Locked On when you first sign up. That gives you double the opportunity to throw down on your Chicago Bears, double the opportunity to win big, because at MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Again, we're here with Larry Dyer from Bears Talk Underground. Let's move to another award here, and it's similar to one that we did earlier, but I want to mix it up a little bit and go with Comeback Player of the Year, because I think you have a few different Bears that are coming back from, whether it be significant injuries or just, you know, troublesome recent seasons for whatever reason, whether they just struggled or whether they, you know, had poor situations on other teams. But, you know, this isn't necessarily the guy who is playing the best, but I guess the guy who had the biggest comeback from whatever it is he was coming back from. I would personally lean Allen Robinson here just because of the ACL recovery and really continuing to look like that number one receiver. Kind of mentioned him as a potential most improved player. But what about you? You know, is there anyone else making a quote unquote comeback that catches your eye here for a potential comeback player of the year?
I mean, other than Eric Kush, I would go with Allen Robinson. Both guys suffered injuries where they basically missed. I mean, Allen Robinson played week one, and that's where he suffered his ACL, and he was out from there. Eric Kush got injured in the preseason or in training camp last year, and both are key contributors to this football team right now. So, I mean, it would be, one of those two guys would be Allen Robinson or an Eric Kush that, have overcome those season-ending injuries and are contributing to what is a good football team right now.
You know, the other guy that I guess stood out to me was Aaron Lynch, only because he, had kind of a rough ending there in San Francisco. But I guess, he's been good in those flashes when we've seen him on the field. But I don't know, has he, how I guess we'll turn it there. How impressed have you been? Have you been with what he's been able to do this year? Or, is this about what you were expecting given his past with Vic Fangio, or is this more than you had hoped?
If anyone has listened to my show, I gave Aaron Lynch a very unfortunate nickname because his status during training camp had become a joke at one point. He comes in, he's got an injury pass with the 49ers. He sprains an ankle or whatever in OTAs and doesn't participate. Comes around in training camp, has another hamstring injury that nags him all the way through, doesn't play a snap in the preseason. And I gave him a very unfortunate nickname that I won't share right now. If you want to check it out on my show, feel free to go ahead and do so, or DM me on Twitter and I'll tell you what it is. But I gave him a really sad nickname, and he is just actually in the Arizona game, I finally decided to release him from that nickname because he has been contributing. He's been on the field, he has been healthy, he has been doing things. He had that interception against Tampa Bay. He was able to sack the quarterback, and I believe he got a sack in the Seattle game as well. He has been playing and contributing to that, because going into training camp, it was supposed to be him and Leonard Floyd. And after a while, it was like, it's going to be Floyd and Sam Acho, because Aaron Lynch can't beat Sam Acho out of the job. I mean, how sad is that? So it's I have been impressed, increasingly impressed with Aaron Lynch, so much to the point that he did earn his way out of the unfortunate nickname that I gave him during the preseason.
Well, would you consider, based on what we have seen so far, like re-signing Aaron Lynch, to potentially to a multi-year deal as, that maybe, starter / rotational guy, or does the injury history scare you a little bit too much?
Well, I mean, it was definitely scaring me at the beginning of the season. It was getting quite annoying, actually, hence the unfortunate nickname that I ended up giving him. But right now, I would say Lynch is probably our best option. He's a veteran. He's probably not going to be very expensive, and he could be a good safety net, if you will, for Leonard Floyd. Because right now, if I'm the Bears, I'm not 100% convinced that I pick up Leonard Floyd's fifth-year option and make him earn it next year. He hasn't quite lived up to it, and granted, he's had that hand injury throughout the preseason and into the season as well, but Leonard Floyd's probably the one guy on that defense that I would call disappointing up to this point.
Yeah, other than him, it's been a pretty strong defensive performance, and I give a lot of credit to this Bears coaching staff. So let's wrap up there with Bears Coach of the Year so far through four games, and I'd like to eliminate Matt Nagy from the contention because, head coach is kind of in charge of everything, and he would probably be the Coach of the Year otherwise. But in terms of the coordinators, the position coaches potentially getting more out of a certain position group, is there one coach that, based on just what we see on the field, that you would feel like is most deserving of the Bears' first quarter Coach of the Year?
Well, if I think the obvious answer would be Vic Fangio, so let's just play who would be second best. I would say, and I don't know his name off the top of my head, I apologize, whoever our defensive line coach is, that guy is probably our best position coach right now, because obviously he's got Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman. That's great. But he's also the guy that's coaching Bilal Nichols, Jonathan Bullard, Roy Robertson Harris. Those guys have all been making plays, rotating off the sideline and onto the field And it just seems like anybody that the Bears put out there up front is getting the job done one way or the other. So I would go with our defensive line coach.
Yeah, his name is Jay Rogers. And I can't help but agree with you because, you know, one guy I forgot to mention with the most improved player that I should have included in there is Roy Robertson-Harris, who has been, I think, the third defensive lineman here. That, you know, you mentioned Floyd being the main disappointment on defense. I agree. And I add Jonathan Bullard right there behind him as another guy that just has not really showed up much this season and clearly losing out to Roy Robertson-Harris. Jay Rogers really deserves a ton of credit for getting those guys ready to go. You know, you can't even, it's hard to even evaluate like Brandon Staley, the outside linebackers coach at this point, because I mean, Khalil Mack just is Khalil Mack, and maybe you're almost disappointed that he hasn't gotten more out of Leonard Floyd, but has then also been able to get more out of Aaron Lynch than maybe we expected. And I don't know, like, I also feel like Ed Donatell, the secondary coach, the defensive backs coach, I feel like he's done a great job, but the secondary is the same guys as last year, and they're playing just as well as they did last year, so it's not like we've seen a necessarily like all around that much better individual players, but because they were already playing well, maybe Ed Donatell doesn't get credit, because I would have probably given this award to him last year for the way this secondary came together, and the fact that they're continuing to play this well does kind of reflect well on Donatell. And any other position groups that, you know, I agree D-line number one, but any other position groups that a position coach might deserve a little bit more credit for?
Who's our wide receiver coach?
That would be Mike Furry, the former Detroit Lions and
that's right,
Arena Football League receiver.
I would go with him simply because he got a group of guys that hadn't played together to play as well as they have in the last few games.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. That, you know, Allen Robinson back to like a number one wide receiver, Taylor Gabriel coming together a little bit here as a mismatch weapon, and you know, you wonder how much of that to put on Nagy, but clearly getting on the same page as their quarterback. And even, you know, Anthony Miller made a couple plays. Kevin White gets on the field and is blocking pretty well. I mean, that's an achievement of itself.
Yeah, and when the Bears play the Dolphins next Sunday, Kevin White will officially have gone deeper into any season that he has in his entire career. So I think that deserves a parade all on its own.
You know, that to me signifies who the real coach of the year is. It is, boy, this last name is not favoring me. Jason Loscalzo is the head strength and conditioning coach, and these Bears, and the head athletic trainer is Andre Tucker. Those guys, I think, are the coach of the year for how healthy this team has been. I mean, just until this last week when Amukamara was banged up a little bit, but this was one of the most healthy teams in the NFL through the first three games of the year. I got to give it to this training staff as sort of the collective coach of the year, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, we led the league in injured reserve during the entire John Fox era, and even dabbled a little bit in it in 2014 with the in 2013 and 2014, it just became this plague that the Bears have been, you know, marred in the last five seasons. And we get rid of the old training staff, that's head strength and conditioning coach guys are gone. And here we are. I mean, we're very early into the season, but the early returns have been fantastic thus far.
Well, we're very early into the season so far, but so far you're in the running for podcast guest of the year, an honorable award for you, Larry. I appreciate you joining me to break down this Bears team through the bye week. I appreciate you always having me on Bears Talk Underground as well. Tell the listeners a little bit more about your podcast and what it is that separates you from some of the other podcasts out there.
Well, you know, Lauren, it's definitely a fan-based podcast. I know we're all Bears fans and everything, but I'm basically just doing it, you know, as a passion project. It's been up and running since 2007, formerly known as the Chicago Bears Review. I made the name change when I joined the Armchair All-American Network this season. So, and it's more about how I'm feeling. I mean, I know some X's and O's, I know some strategy and things like that, but I'm not an in-depth guy that's going to be able to break down, you know, an all 22 with you. It's more about what I feel, what I see, and everything like that. It's really more of a feeling than as far as like direct 100% football knowledge, can't miss or anything like that. So it's a very much a heart on your sleeve kind of show, and I think that's why people respond to it.
Yeah, it's, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. You're a podcasting pro, and I know the last few years in this John Fox era. You've been a great podcast as far as venting and being a place where Bears fans can come and kind of, you know, get through a pretty tough era of Chicago Bears football. So I appreciate what you do. And I thank you so much for coming on with me today.
Well, it was my pleasure, Lauren. I appreciate it.
So to recap, Larry and I were kind of split on Offensive Player of the Year. He thought Tariq Cohen. I thought Charles Leno. Then, obviously, Khalil Mack is the undisputed Defensive Player of the Year, but pretty strong cases for Akeem Hicks, Danny Trevathan, and Eddie Jackson as far as a second-place type finish there. We both agreed on Prince Amukamara as the most improved player, but, you know, Eric Kush, I think, as we discussed, deserves a shot there, and as does Roy Robertson-Harris on the defensive line. The Rookie of the Year, we kind of talked about Roquan Smith and Bilal Nichols, each kind of making different levels of impact, but Nichols certainly the more surprising contributor of the two. Comeback Player of the Year, Allen Robinson, coming back from his injury, but Eric Kush, again, also in that conversation. And then Coach of the Year, well, initially we thought defensive line coach Jay Rogers, but eventually we came around on this strength and conditioning staff as the real heroes on the sidelines. Thanks again to Larry Dyer from Bears Talk Underground for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast if you weren't already. It's the best way to keep up with more daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. We'll be previewing this upcoming matchup against the Miami Dolphins as the week goes on. We'll have our crossover podcast with Travis Wingfield from Locked On Dolphins. And as always, we'll wrap up the week looking at our game plan for how to take down Adam Gase in his face-off with his former team. It's going to be an interesting matchup, despite not a lot of people fully believing in the three-win Dolphins, and I guess their performance against the Bengals didn't help anything as far as confidence in them, but this is going to be a good game. And Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for all the Chicago Bears analysis you could need. We are here every day to give you another reason to bear down.